Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Believers, you know what time it is. It's that time. Yes, we're talking season 4, episode 12. It's supposed to be a beautiful day in the temple, but you know how things go in the temple. Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We knew that it couldn't last.
The green wedding?
The green wedding. It's the lime green wedding.
Uh-huh. It's famous.
Guys, it's about that time. You know, it's Wednesday night. We're here at the AfterBuzz Studios. That's right. We're here to talk season 4, episode 12 of Lucha Underground right here on the Lucha Underground After Show on AfterBuzz TV. My name is Ty Matthews. As always, y'all can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. Joining me, one of my absolute favorite human beings on this planet. He's an integral part of the show. Seldom as we may see him from time to time, but he's here. That's the most important part. You can find him online at Mark B. Donaga because he's Mark B. Donaga.
I thought you were going to say Brandon Stroud for a second. I was going to be like, Brandon's here?
Mr. Brandon Stroud.
Well, no, he was at the temple tonight.
He was at, yep, very clearly on camera.
We're all happy to be here, Ty. It's a great place to sort of let loose and have fun in the temple.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. We've had it's been a rotating cast of characters so far this season, mm-hmm. on the Lucha Underground After Show, but we were so used to you being behind Nancy,
yeah.
our trusty soundboard. Mm-hmm. Now we've got Josh, our brand new fantastic producer.
He's brilliant.
Brillante, muy brillante. There we go.
Thanks, everybody.
You see?
He deserves it.
Nancy queued up already. But let's talk season 4, episode 12, Till Death Do Us Part. Mm-hmm. It almost, now, we get a little bit from the recap at the beginning, obviously, previously on. It almost felt like it was a bit of a mid-season finale. You know, we're here, we're halfway through the season, this being the shortest season that Lucha Underground has done. And it almost felt like a mid-season finale. There were a lot of blow-offs to multiple angles, you know,
mm-hmm.
that weren't necessarily season-long through lines. We saw a No Mas match between Exolicious and Jack Evans. We saw Jake Strong versus Drago, and that seems like it will continue. And, of course, the wedding, which we will get to.
Well, also, a good television benchmark is a wedding episode.
That's
so
true.
So it was a solid choice to bring their love onto the screen. And what's a wrestling company without a wedding every once in a while?
Of course. Yeah. Of course. Absolutely. And you know, I mean, with the cake being there, it's the wrestling equivalent of Chekhov's gun. You know, something's happening.
But also it was Chekhov's tacos.
It's Chekhov's tacos also, yes. So let's get into it. First, now, You missed this part.
A little bit.
Backstage, we get Worldwide Underground preparing for Johnny Mundo's big day. The, I guess, triumphant temple debut of Joey Wrestling, nay Joey Mercury, mm-hmm. former tag team partner of Johnny Mundo in M&M.
Of course, his maiden name being Joey Mercury.
Exactly.
I'm just keeping it wedding themed today.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Now, at this point, we've seen all three members of M&M on screen in Lucha Underground.
That's right.
To varying degrees of brevity.
I mean, oh, you don't think Joey's going to stick around?
Matt Stryker even mentioned, if we see the third member of this team, we might be in trouble. but of course, we just, a lot of this, I mean, it's, part of it is to bring Joey Mercury on camera, but also part of it is to further the storyline of Ricky Mundo just being treated like absolute garbage.
Yeah, and that's something that I'm happy there's been some sort of consistency, yes. with Ricky Mundo being just, well, hey, Mr. Mundo.
Exactly, exactly. Only now there are dolls.
And now there are dolls. Yeah. And it's getting creepier and creepier. I well, we'll talk about it more when we get to the wedding, but this was a nice sort of follow through of everything that has been happening to Ricky, and clearly happening to Ricky, of them being treated as a pincushion.
Exactly. And at this point, like, hasn't anyone in Worldwide Underground seen Carrie? Don't they know how this ends?
It's always interesting how, unless referenced, the outside world doesn't exist in any wrestling company.
Right.
Just like, what are horror movies? We're not on a network that has, like, bloody marathons every other week.
Exactly, exactly. I always wonder about that. I always wonder, in canon, in the canon of the universe, how much of the outside world exists. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it a little bit, not to go on too much of a tangent, but, like, in the canon of, like, Velveteen Dream, mm-hmm. like, is he a fan of Prince?
He's a technomancer. That's what we've determined on the NXT show, which you can watch right here on AfterBuzz TV Wrestling and Sports.
There you go.
But we've determined that he is a technomancer. He has control of technology because he snaps and sends people to another dimension.
Right.
That's the Velveteen Dream experience.
Is EC3 also a technomancer?
I think he's just rich.
Okay.
It's sort of like Timmy Turner versus Remy Buxaplenty on Fairly Odd Parents.
Okay.
That's random as hell.
I like
it. Whereas one person sort of paid their way to magic and abilities, sure. and the other person has truly earned it.
It's Batman versus Superman.
Yeah. Sort of a thing.
Interesting.
Yours was probably a lot more apt.
what I mean is, like, is the Velveteen Dream aware that he is, like, referencing Prince so heavily in that canon?
Because
he would never name Prince or drop Prince in a promo. It wouldn't be that on the nose.
I thought he used to be billed from Paisley Park. Something close, like somewhere in the area,
probably
of there. But there's a lot of Velveteen Dream. I mean, we're way off. not even the same company.
Off the rails, right?
Even
away.
Though I was going to bring them up during the No Mas match, but there you go. It's more of a thing. There's a lot of Velveteen Dream stuff that people haven't seen that overtly references Prince.
Sure.
And due to the nature of...
It's not quite so on the nose now.
But also, I think, due to the nature of the Prince camp and how sort of close to the vest and assless pants he was.
Sure.
They probably, for better reasons, they'll just be like, it's kind of a fringe tribute act. As
right,
opposed
that's
to,
fair.
Hey, this is WWE's version of Prince.
Right, exactly. That's yeah. fair. Let's get back to the temple.
Hop back
to the temple. We've got a guest ring announcer in the newly returned Famous Bee. Of course, Melissa Santos recovering from her vicious attack by Katrina last week. Mm. So we've got Famous Bee announcing from his trusty wheelchair. Announcing our opening contest, the Savage Jake Strong taking on the still newly freed Drago.
I thought you were going to say, like, still a little depressed Drago.
Still a little bit sad. He's yeah. a little bit of a sad boy.
I'm sorry for being such a bad boy.
Now, what's interesting is that Matt Stryker dropped something on commentary that I'm not sure if it was ever introduced in canon, and that it was that when Drago was under the influence of Cobra Moon and the Reptile Tribe, he had been injected with infected venom. Had we ever heard that before?
No.
Or was that just a little bit of creative license?
I mean, there seem to be a lot of things on commentary. I've been noticing a little bit more this season where Matt Stryker and Vamp just kind of take things as they
sure.
come and explain away stuff, but it also does fit with the idea that they never see anything that happens in the back.
Right.
They only see stuff that happens in the ring.
Right.
So their assumptions seem to never be canon unless they're told.
Sure.
So even if that was the case, we kind of have to take it with a grain of salt because
right.
it's the only reference that we've really gotten of why he acted that way.
Exactly. Because, yeah, if that's the case, you got to think it might have something to do with that collar. Mm. That's really the only thing that we saw inside the temple, inside the ring, was when Cobra Moon put on the collar and then would take it off.
Oh, if it's, like, got a bunch of tiny needles in it?
Right.
And it's, ooh,
yeah.
ooh, no. It's like a Bane situation?
Mm-hmm.
Oof.
Exactly. But so yeah, Jake Strong versus Drago get a big chop block from Jake Strong taking out the front of the leg. Huge spinning DDT out of the Oklahoma Stampede attempt. Big old back body drop into the chairs, which looked nastier than it even should have.
But can I say, like, Jake Strong doesn't need to go low on anybody.
No.
He just needs to kind of bop them on the head Three Stooges style, exactly. And they'll fall down.
Yeah.
Like, because knowing Jake Strong from other companies, mm-hmm. he just sort of kind of flies at average height.
Sure.
But now when you're getting into the lucha world where guys are a little bit more compact, he's a really big, like, the size advantage, I would say more so now than earlier in the season, was very apparent when it came to when he fought Aerostar, and now... It's a great way to get that sort of a reaction from Drago to get people to get back on his side despite his actions in the Reptile Tribe.
Right, exactly. So from the backdrop, it was kind of surprising the way it ended, because it was backdrop into the chairs, roll him into the ring, swagger bomb, ankle lock, and then he taps out. And so I was a little surprised that there wasn't more back and forth, but we'll certainly get to that in the No Mas match. There was plenty of that there.
But what if it was a situation where Drago might be in a mindset of, I deserve this punishment?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's still feeling this guilty about the things that he did under the influence,
sure.
of El Reina Cobra Moon. Mm-hmm. We've all gone to dark places in our lives.
Right.
What if Drago is in a place where his fire can't reach?
See, I do like that. I would like to see, if obviously that is the case, it would be interesting to see that conveyed more, you mm-hmm. know, to see him maybe get an explicit chance to fight back that he doesn't take.
Like putting the dukes up and then just going, what's the
and
point?
Then and then dropping
and
yeah.
then like... Do it. Just do it.
Oh, that would be cool. That would be super rad. I like that.
I think there might be more. There might. If it would happen, it would be in a tag team setting where, oh, he's got this friendship. He's got this, but it's not doing him any good. And we would have the moment in the same match where he makes the realization, I deserve punishment. But then he gets snapped out of it by his best super friend, Aerostar.
Sure.
And we see that sort of an ebb and flow. If it's going to happen, it's just going to be one match.
Right, exactly.
I don't think it's going to be a multi-week Drago sure. story.
So we've got, speaking of Aerostar, we get him coming in to save the day, mm-hmm. Just like Drago did for him last week. We see Jake Strong put on the nunchuck assisted ankle.
A fellow chucker, eh?
Yes. Oh, it had been so long. Oh, I love that drop. It's always a classic.
You're welcome.
But thank you for that.
I there are so many choices, like, all across the show tonight, where I was just like, what are you guys
It was a wild
doing?
Episode. It was a wild episode, for better or worse, I'll say that.
Yeah, like, it, yes, it's effective, but it's the equivalent. This was the sort of the reverse of giving somebody a submission on the entrance ramp or on a table. It's even worse.
Paige doing the PTO on the announce table.
Exactly. Like, how is nothing changes it? Right. It's a similar thing just in the other place, because the twisting motion of an ankle lock.
Right.
If you were, like, ramming it, if you somehow, like, stuck the nunchuck straight out and hit an ankle against it and then put the ankle lock on it, that makes more sense than just, I got a little flat surface.
If anything, you're making it harder to do for yourself to do the ankle lock. Like, it literally makes it more difficult to grasp.
He looked like he was having a little bit of trouble. Like, when he got in, he's like, strong.
Right,
it was a weird choice.
Yes. And I'm still, we are 12 episodes in, and I still do not see anything particularly savage about him, unless you're just going the route of using savage as a synonym for aggressive.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I guess in that sense, sure.
Well, he's a pretty mean guy. That's all we got.
Yeah. Like, if you're calling someone the savage,
it's less of especially in a world where we literally have a monster that kills people, eats their heads off. When we have somebody like that to go to a guy who's just kind of a jerk,
right? Yeah.
That doesn't track.
He's not so much a savage as he is a dick, if we're really being real here.
They should have just called him Dick Strong. Oh, no, you can't.
Richard Strong.
Richard Strong.
The savage there. Richard Strong.
What a dick. And that's not technically a violation, because it's Richard.
Exactly. It's like, Richard. Oh my God, there's an incredible line in, I think it's season 2 of The Good Place, Where do you watch The Good Place?
Go ahead.
It's so at one point, Mark Evan Jackson is telling Ted Danson how all the demons called him names behind his back, like the Thomas Edison of mediocrity or that dick. It's a fantastic show, guys. Go on, It's a Good Place.
That's good.
We will get back to the temple in just a second, but guys, let me holler at you. Let me holler at you, playa, just for 1 second. AfterBuzzers, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows. Now, that's everything from dramas to reality TV to sci-fi and so much more. There's absolutely no network that works harder to serve television fans. But that being said, we need your help. See, we're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Now, by doing that, YouTube is going to suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and by doing so, you're going to help AfterBuzz continue to grow the way it's grown and grown and grown these last couple years. And hey, if you're worried about those pesky notifications, what do I always say? It's 2018, bad boy. Just click those off. Those are optional. So hit that subscribe button one time for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels while you're at it. Let us know you did so in the comments. We're going to thank you on the air. Sometimes I don't remember to do that. But for now, thank you so, so much for being the absolute best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
And we would like to specifically shout out Ismael Freitas, who commented, Lucha Underground has more ball.
There you go.
On last week's episode. And also Shiny Diver, who thanked us for the previous call out.
I love it. I love both of you. And we're not above calling out people multiple times, shouting people out.
No. I want to make sure everybody's following AfterBuzz TV Wrestling because we got Women's Pro Wrestling Weekly.
There you
who
go.
They've had fire episodes and amazing guests, including Thunder Rosa. Who you may know as somebody else.
I couldn't imagine.
I don't know what I'm talking about. They've had a lot of really great guests, so you should definitely check them out.
Sure.
Raw, SmackDown,
Raw, my old stomping ground.
We had a great episode last week because Hobo made me come and do the show. it was really fun. It was him, myself, TK, and Evan Mack.
Okay.
And it was a fun episode.
Awesome.
We got some good responses on it. But then also, I'm a little biased, but go make sure to check out the NXT After Show, which airs earlier on Wednesdays, live if you want to join it. We have some fun, and a lot of it is making fun of how stupid they're making the character of Johnny Gargano to be.
Of course. I wish I could sit on that show. Yeah. Wednesday nights here in this studio are pretty loaded between the NXT After Show, the Lucha Underground After Show. You're getting a double dose of just weird wrestling talk.
It's weird. Man. It's weird.
We got to come up with a cool name for us, like the NXT team. We don't have anything. We're 3 seasons into this After Show. We covered season 2, 3, and 4. We still don't have a cool team name.
Figure it out.
We'll figure it out. With Summer Sanders.
Yeah.
Stupid. Next up, we got a No Moss match. No Moss. Exolicious. Thank you, Josh. No Exo. No. Buh. Whoa! Let me reset. Everyone back to one. Check the gate. We're moving on. No Moss match. Exolicious versus Jack Evans.
You nailed it.
I let my mouth get away from me for a second.
Go catch it. I'm going to get that mouth.
I'm going to get that mouth. All right. Now, what I love about this match is that it starts like so many Jack Evans matches. Start with a completely mic-less promo.
really quickly, though. We clearly see... and his name escapes me. I feel bad. But head referee...
Justin Borden.
Mm-hmm. With a microphone for the No Moss match.
Holding a mic in a stand.
Right next to him, what's going to happen?
Nope.
And And Jack Evans, in his infinite wisdom, but we don't even get a moment of I don't need that mic to speak my mind. Nope. I'm an independent woman who don't need no mic. And then he just does his promo. Uh-huh. And then we go, you might be wondering why the referee's holding a microphone. And then, which makes it even clearer, we could have just done that on the microphone and not shot out his vocal cords.
Nope, you know.
There are a lot of little things in this match where I was like, that was the wrong shot to use. It's television production is hard. I don't hold anything against the production company. It's just like, oh, that was a cool pose. there's a cameraman on the other side who has a better shot of it. Maybe they lost the tape. Maybe they this, maybe they that. Right. Like, there's all sorts of stuff that happens in between shoot day and the edit bay.
Sure.
I'm going to make that a shirt.
Look at that.
Yeah.
You're a poet and you didn't even realize it.
Pay me. I am all here. But there was so much where I was like, there's a better angle there. There's a better angle here. And I feel bad because it took me out of the match a little bit. But sure. This was a fun match. Exolicious didn't hold back.
No, and we've talked a little about this before on the show. The fact that we've seen Exóticos in the temple before. We saw Pimpinela Escarlata, but the way that Pimpy was treated is a lot different than the way they're treating Exolicious, and I think that's to the show's benefit.
Sure.
You know, Pimpinela was treated the way that Exóticos usually are, kind of as sort of a sideshow act, you know? Like, they're going to come in, they're going to do some comedy spots, we're going to get some gay panic, like, and that's it, you know? But Exolicious, like, Exolicious already got his Austin moment by passing out in the Gogo Plata a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And to that end, he starts the match beating the shit out of Jack Evans chasing him around ringside.
Yeah, to the point where it was such a relentless chase that, like, he wasn't even on he didn't even have his feet under him.
Right.
And he was just like, I don't care where you go, I'm going to follow you and beat the living hell out of you.
Exactly, yeah. Both of their torsos were moving way faster than their legs were.
A lot of creative uses of the temple.
Yes, that handstand Rana off the temple steps.
Very cool.
We got a 450 off of the apron. A blockbuster off the announce table, a lot of really intriguing kind of use of the environment.
Mm-hmm. It was another editing note, but it was something from commentary where heavy breathing and live mics and everything. Sometimes you can't hear what a competitor says, especially in a no mas match scenario.
And I actually have a theory about what you might be getting at.
Okay, so what happened? So the first mic raise of the night, where Evans has Exolicious chained up by the throat, and says, "You know, what do you say?" And he says, essentially, no.
Just no. He literally just says no.
No.
Yeah, he says no.
Very clearly.
Right.
One syllable, an extended syllable, but one syllable.
Sure.
Like, hey, did you hear that? I think he said F you. And then, which was like, he clearly didn't say that.
Right.
And then later in the match, when that comes back around and we get, and also, I wonder if that's still on the board. We get like,
the
FU Mariposa.
Yeah.
We still got it. But like, we get a similar moment to that.
Yes.
And then like, the commentators were like, And didn't really comment.
Right, exactly. And I think it sort of took the wind out of the sails of that moment.
Exactly.
Because what I'm guessing happened is that the commentators knew that that moment was going to happen, and maybe they don't have the audio of the mic as well as we do at home when we're watching on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they thought that, oh, that's where they did it. That's where they put that
moment.
That's
where that spot was.
And then, you know, played it up as much on commentary.
Whoops!
And then when it was much clearer, it was like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah, it was a little unfortunate.
Yeah,
just man, if I was in Vamp's ear, I would just be like, use your upstage hand,
right?
Not the hand that covers the camera.
Right.
Use your upstage hand, man.
Cheat out a little bit.
Yeah, just cheat a little bit, and then use your upstage hand to, you know, if you talk with your hands, that's fine.
Right,
but that just. Whoop! Oh, it was so simple.
Exactly.
I'm using my left hand instead.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got Ivelisse. She comes out for the save. Promptly gets thrown right into the
chair. That was really quick.
Yeah.
I thought that was sort of a tease of, oh, we're gonna get. She's gonna come back and do something huge.
Right.
Near the apex of this match.
Nope. Got kicked in her face. Thrown into the chairs.
Yep.
We get this amazing label lock from Exolicious. The way that he gets into it almost looks like he's starting off Magistral Cradle, right into the belt.
Just forward roll into the Regal Stretch, as Stryker called it too.
Which I wouldn't have called it the Regal Stretch. My interpretation of the Regal Stretch is a lot more the STF version. The STF with the sort of...
But because for me, the label lock is more of a leg scissors around the arm, as opposed to just a single leg over it. We're talking like wrestling semantics right now, which is really boring.
We're getting right into the weeds. Hope you guys are grapple fucks like we are. But yes, but you're right. There wasn't as much scissoring going on. But what else did we
get? That's fine.
Oh man. The other moment that I absolutely loved is that kind of, I don't know if Exolicious has a name for it, but that kind of the bending back head scissors.
Yeah, so that does Carmella still do that?
I don't know if she still does.
She used to, but considering it's a figure four neck lock,
yes,
I think they just wanted to take any sort of confusion away from people who aren't familiar with Charlotte,
right,
or the family legacy or whatever.
Sure,
but that got her a couple of really important wins.
Right.
So it looks devastating.
It looks fantastic, especially when you've got someone as flexible as Jack Evans,
and especially turning it into a DDT of sorts.
Oh man, that was wild.
But if he, I mean, Exolicious is a little too beefy. It seemed a little too beefy to get the extra torque in to pull the leg and make it a little bit of a tighter squeeze.
Right.
But the fact that that's just not a clear choke is a little interesting.
Sure.
But it proved very effective tonight
exactly.
When those sort of rules don't apply.
Exactly. Yeah, good point. We've got a lot of back and forth. What else? We've got... So Jack Evans says, you know what, screw this. I'm not even going to bother making him say no mas. I'm just going to snap his goddamn neck.
Which brings out Joey Ryan.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's about to not necessarily pilmanize, but like this is kind of a whole new thing where
euthanize.
He's going to euthanize him. Lays him across the seat of this chair, is going to come off the top, presumably with either a knee drop or a leg drop. Joey Ryan comes out for the save, grabs Jack's leg. Jack misses. And then Exolicious hits a big head kick, locks in the cross arm breaker to get the Nomos, to get the win.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like we've got kind of the makings of this new trio.
At the same time, though, knowing the sleaziness of Joey Ryan.
Sure.
And presenting himself in this situation for people that he has done wrong before.
Right.
It's doing something right for the wrong reason, especially in so. Also, it sounded like he was loved, and in a segment where Jack Evans is shouting to do a really good promo about being the god of Lucha Libre, yet the one company love that you give to Joey Ryan, who does a run in at the end.
Right.
Regardless, it's doing the right thing for the wrong reasons and sort of doing the right thing and going, hey, I'm helping you.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize me helping you. I'm doing a good thing.
Right.
And that still is sleazy.
Right.
So I don't think that it's going to stick.
It's interesting. One of the things that leapt out at me when I saw this, and I had a feeling that they were going to go to this well the first time that we saw Joey and Exo in the same ring, which was, I believe, Jack and Joey versus Ivelisse and Exo.
I think that's correct.
So... what it seemed like at the end of that match was that it looked like Joey and Exo might have had something. Because Jack kept attacking him, and Joey was sort of the one that wasn't really on board, you know? And what I'm wondering is that if, obviously we know the sleazy side of Joey, is this the, for lack of a better term, the Hot Topic side of Joey? The Joey that promotes, you know, acceptance and intergender wrestling and things like that. Is it that side of Joey Ryan kind of creeping onto the show?
It is, if talking about the Hot Topic side, this is sort of a spectrum of wrestling.
Sure.
When it comes to Exo as the Exotico, Joey on one side as the ultra male hyper dick, and I mean that literally with his penis, not necessarily, but that side, and then Ivelisse, the badass chick, as said by Vamp himself,
right?
But if this is a full spectrum of what wrestling is and can be, I'm not entirely against that, but at the same time, it's hard when looking at Joey's just Lucha Underground past, like he hasn't always had a plan for everything that he's done,
right?
There's
right.
always been a reason behind it, whether it be a good reason or a bad reason.
Definitely. Yeah. So we'll see. It remains to be seen where this kind of goes. Backstage, we've got Jack Evans sort of crawling past the rest of the Worldwide Underground wedding party. He will not be making the event tonight.
I think it's simply Jonah's like, hey, put your tux on, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
Come on, ass.
We get more of Ricky Mundo just being treated like dog shit. goes to get the stupid rings, as he calls them, which sets...
Get your stupid rings!
Sets Johnny off. Johnny Mundo says, do the one job that I asked you to do. And when he leaves, of course, we hear Rosa, the doll, say, do the job that I asked you to do. So we see him climb up the rafters, up to the catwalk, cut the chains on a certain
cutting
cell.
Cutting a little chain on the catwalk.
I like it. I like that.
Kill me.
And of course, he frees the monster Matanza, which, yes, we will get to momentarily.
Looking as terrifying as ever, carefully walking down the stairs.
You gotta be careful going down them steps. We couldn't have possibly cut before that.
Nah, man, we gotta fill that runtime. Even 1 second. It's the difference. Like, how long until the commercial break? We've got like 3 seconds to fill. Just get him coming down the stairs. Who cares? We could just slow down the footage of Ricky going up the stairs. No. No, we're going to see that monster coming down the steps. Because what if he goes, people won't know if he just jumps out the window and leaves?
It's spatial awareness.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you got to see him like, oh, he's coming. And it's going to take him a long time, too.
Now, the beginning of the ceremony, we see Famous B is officiating.
But he also wore the colors. Like, his tie was the same lime green.
Yes, everything was all on brand. Everything was matching. Sadly, Father Rick O'Shea had his arm snapped by Pentagon before. I don't know if you got that. There was a... I think it was on last week's episode. There was a priest in the temple, Father Rick O'Shea.
Famed Irish priest Rick O'Shea. Yes,
exactly. Got his arm snapped. So we've got Famous B officiating, but I love that this just turns into a legit Famous B commercial. Mm. Like, I thought it was just going to end with, you know, Minister of Love, he does it all, but then the burn-in just kept changing, and then all of a sudden there were full-on graphics on the screen.
It's pretty hot.
Like, I was not expecting that, and I quite enjoyed it. But we've also, not only did we see the temple debut of Joey Mercury, we also saw the temple debut of cheerleader Melissa.
And it's weird. She's well-known in the LA circuits and in the indie wrestling circuits, yes. But I'd never thought that... Her specifically would become synonymous with the temple.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah.
It's, for whatever reason.
For who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows where we could have seen her before? But we've got... I also love the use... Once again, the use of Brennan's on the screen. The best-ish man, PJ Black.
Yeah, the lower thirds were great. The bestest
man. Yes.
The lower thirds were great.
Yep, yep.
And so that use, getting that one lob getting used, they just lobbed Brenda.
You always gotta love Brenda.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what, because you know she's gonna be saying some gold.
I am pretty sure that was a Taya choice. It's like, no, for sure. You've gotta mic her.
Yeah, no matter what, she's gonna say some shit that you're gonna wanna catch.
Me next!
When, exactly. When Famous V asks if there are any objections, we get an appearance from Antonio Quinto.
Hold on. Johnny.
But he's not here to make
objections. Unlike my son, Dario. I actually like you too.
He's not here to make objections. He's here to cater the wedding.
Yeah.
He says, ring the bell. And of course...
The dinner bell.
We've got the taco bell. Because out comes table after table containing tacos.
Man, I didn't think that Antonio would go this far, but he's really thinking outside the bun on that one.
God damn it. I hate it so much.
One of my favorite sort of wedding notes, since my wife works in bridal, I've watched a lot of, like, Say Yes to the Dress, David Tutera,
sure.
Like, all sorts of stuff. And one of the favorite things is my favorite color for a long time was green, until we started planning for the wedding, where I found out that green is the worst color that you want at a wedding. So I'm just laughing inside and just seeing David Tutera just go to, like, you want green?
And
you
especially
want what?
Lime green.
You could chroma, like, whatever you want on that wedding.
Not even, like, a deep, like, I didn't even think about that. That's hysterical.
You can chroma whatever you want on their suits,
God,
man.
That's hilarious.
It's gonna happen.
That just a bunch of floating heads,
yeah,
and arms, because they were all sleeveless.
Yeah.
Gotta show off those guns.
Yeah.
I also love that when Ricky comes out with the rings, there's a little dress on Rosa, and she's carrying a little flower basket. basket.
Well, if I'm going to be the ring bearer, I'm going to choose the foul girl.
Exactly. Everything's on brand here.
Everything's coming up Rosa.
God damn it, Mark. I missed you so much. Mm. So, and I also love Famous D telling him to get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a callback to Famous D's cowboy days with Tejano.
Go and on, get. And it seems like any time he mentions Dr. Wagner or King Cuerno, he slips back into it.
Exactly, exactly.
That's the promoter in
him. So we get through the ceremony for the most part. We get some very beautiful vows, you know.
The fact that they kept showing Johnny and Taya's moms in the crowd.
Right.
I was like, wow, they really wanted to make this really special. No, but I don't know if people did they call out before that their moms were going to be in the audience?
I don't necessarily think so.
Because that added a level of legitimacy to it.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I don't know if this is true, but it certainly seemed like the proposal caught Taya off guard. I don't know if she fully knew. If not, God bless her, because she's a phenomenal actress. But, like, this all seemed very, very real. Real enough to get me emotionally invested, for sure. But, of course, we get that incredible turn from Famous B, where, you know, by the power vested in me by the state of California and 423 Get Fame, I now pronounce you, holy shit, what the hell is that?
we watch in studio with the captions on, and sometimes it spoils a couple of the jokes, sure. But it was still a great moment of so just good. Instant. And the fact that here's where the production comes back into play. They gave the live audience a moment, even though, and the live audience probably had no idea that Matanza was coming out because all of the backstage antics, but they also gave everybody a moment of, the people at home got a moment of, it's happening, and the people in the audience got a moment of, what's happening?
Right.
And because it wasn't, what is that, and he's already at the ring, it was, what is that, beat, come out, start laying waste to stuff.
Exactly.
It was a really well-timed moment.
And God, did he ever lay waste to this entire wedding.
Taya was bleeding by the end of it.
Headbutted Taya in the face, gave cheerleader Melissa the wrath of the gods, picked Famous B up in his wheelchair.
I thought he was going to wrath of the gods him.
I thought he was going to give him the twisting side suplex with it. Oh,
God. I guess he kind of did.
Oh, sort of. As much as he can. Theoretically could have. Choke slams PJ Black off of the apron through one of the taco tables, gives Johnny Mundo a capture suplex over the top through another one of the taco tables, gives Taya the wrath of the gods, choke slams her into the wedding cake, all the while Ricky Mundo is laughing his ass off watching all this.
Let's not forget Brenda fainting.
Oh my God. Throwing the bouquet had to have been 6 feet into the air and then just dropping, hitting the deck.
It was, God. And I was like, and that's why she's mic'd.
Yeah, exactly. But there was I talk a lot about the cinematography and the camera angles, and there was an absolutely gorgeous angle of Matanza after he tossed Taya to ringside as he's picking her up by her braids, and her face is just covered in blood, and she's just like, the facial expressions that she was showing were so, like, it was like she was near death, you know? And just, like, that juxtaposition of the monster holding her by the head. She's covered in blood. Meanwhile, she's wearing her wedding dress, you know? While there's,
her wedding tights.
Yes, her wedding tights. Yes, exactly. Her wedding singlet. Fantastic imagery. So
I would like it if, while this aftermath is going on, that she comes out for any and all matches still, and I know the train was detachable,
sure.
But if she comes out in full wedding gear and it just gets tattered and tattered, yeah. And she's like, no, I will not be able to enjoy or take this off until I get my justice and revenge.
Exactly.
On Matanza.
Exactly. So it looks like, let's hit some predictions very quickly.
Oh, that's right. You like the theremin one.
You're after Buzz.
To get into predictions, I don't think we have time for Folio's God. We will return to that fantastic special segment next week for episode 13. But talking about predictions, I feel like this is just going to be the Worldwide Underground presenting a united front against Matanza, you know?
And And now I thought that we were going to get a sacrifice to the gods tonight.
Yes.
Legitimately.
Me too. I thought for sure cheerleader Melissa was going to get sacrificed.
No, she's got to stay in the temple. This is her first appearance. Why would she get sacrificed? But I think this might be Ricky Mundo's way out.
Okay.
And possibly reborn some way through the dolls.
Interesting. Okay.
Maybe.
Okay.
As being some sort of doll weirdo.
Sure.
But at least for the time being sacrificed. I was a little disappointed.
Oh, so Ricky being sacrificed.
Ricky being sacrificed. Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Ricky being sacrificed and being brought back by the dolls as some weird, maybe being possessed by a spirit of one of these dolls.
I see.
And being an even more of a weirdo, creepy character. But,
right.
We were talking about this being a mid-season finale. Does this go all the way to Ultima Lucha?
Matanza versus Johnny?
Yeah.
I think it does.
Okay.
I think we don't see one-on-one Johnny Mundo versus Matanza until Ultima Lucha Quattro.
Any stipulation?
God, it's got to be something. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something graphic. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe a First Blood match, if you could do First Blood with Matanza?
You can't.
I don't know.
Because then you just make him bleed on his arm.
Sure, on his arm, or you could find some way to maybe tear the mask. Who knows?
Maybe.
I don't know.
We'll mask see. Versus hair?
Ooh, that's
no,
not bad.
No, because Johnny would have to shave.
That's true.
Because if you unmask Matanza, it's Jeff Cobb.
And it's just hey guys, Mr. Olympic, just Jeff Cobb.
Or if you do something where like the mask comes off and he like melts and just dies or something.
Ooh, that's not bad. That's yeah. not bad.
Like you take it off and it's like a Black Adam situation where you say Shazam and he turns back to his mortal form and turns into dust.
Ooh.
Or where it's something like that where all of the power of the gods in the world, or maybe something, sure. something.
I dig it. Guys, tweet us your predictions, all of your wacky fan theories. That's what makes this show fun.
Go on, twit!
Mark, thank you so, so much for joining us. This was an absolute blast, a blasty blast.
Always is.
Josh, thank you in the booth for holding it down on the ones and twos. We appreciate you. Guys, as always, or Mark, where can they find you? Where are my manners?
You can find me on Twitter at Mark Bidonica. I just started a podcast with my wife called Party of Two Pod, which is a theme park podcast.
Ooh.
Where we're going to be talking about theme parks, amusement parks, special pop-ups.
That's my favorite subject.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to figure out a way to not be completely terrified to talk about scary stuff around Halloween time.
You can bring me in as an analyst.
Maybe we will.
There you go.
But Mark Bidonica, make sure to watch the NXT After Show. We had a fun show today. We had a special guest whose name escapes me, and I feel really bad because he was a really great guest. AfterBuzz Animation, I do a whole bunch of other stuff, but go to youtube.com/XPOC and watch this most recent episode of XPOC 12360, where we had Pierre Carl Houllet.
PCO!
Yeah, we had PCO on, and he has an amazing story.
Oh, that's
and
fantastic.
It was a very nice talk because he and Pac go way back.
There you
like,
go.
They're yeah, they were really good friends on the road.
In the new generation era.
Yeah, well, not just that, but in WCW as well.
Oh, interesting.
So make sure to take a listen to that. It was a very fun episode, and we were excited to have him on. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up.
There you go. Guys, you can find me on all forms of social media at Ty Matthews PMA. That's the Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network. Come play Overwatch with me. You can check me on Saturday's Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. We just taped the Red Carpet Rumble. That will be airing very, very soon in September. Also, this coming Tuesday, I will be hosting the AfterBuzz After Show for the Purge miniseries on the USA Network. So come check that out. That'll be Tuesday nights, 8 o'clock p.m. It's 10 episodes. We're going to be talking The Purge. It's a series I absolutely love, so come check that out.
That's but guys, so on brand.
Until, right? Isn't it? Guys, until next week, Viva la Lucha!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments and questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.